Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Uruguay defeated Egypt Friday 1-0 in the opening match for both teams at the 2018 World Cup football tournament in Ekaterinburg, Russia. Atletico Madrid man Jose Jimenez was the goal-scoring hero for Uruguay. The 23-year-old defender rose to meet a right-wing corner kick with a powerful header to lift his team to victory in the 90th minute of the match. Uruguay has a proud World Cup pedigree, winning the very first World Cup in 1930 and lifting the trophy again in 1950. But Uruguay is also traditionally a slow starter at World Cups. This was the team's first World Cup win in an opening match since 1970. Meanwhile, the Egyptians played in their first World Cup match since 1990. Egypt's Argentine head coach, Hector Cooper, said before the match that injured Liverpool star Mohamed Salah was almost 100% certain to play against Uruguay, but Salah didn't play a minute, and television cameras showed him with his head down, slowly shaking it on the sidelines after Jimenez's late goal. At the post-match news conference, Coach Cooper explained his decision not to play Salah, and I quote, "Mo Salah is an important player for us, but you need to have a good team, and we have a good team. Salah will have an important role for us in the future matches. We wanted to avoid risks in this match against Uruguay, but I think he will be fine for the next game." Well, Egypt's next game is June 19th against World Cup host Russia in St. Petersburg. The Russians got off to a rousing start on Thursday in the World Cup's opening match, routing Saudi Arabia 5-0 in Moscow. In Friday's second World Cup match, Morocco is meeting Iran in St. Petersburg. Right now, we're in the 73rd minute in St. Petersburg. Goalless draw between Morocco and Iran. Once again, 73rd minute, 0-0 between Morocco and Iran. Before the match, Morocco's French coach, Hervé Renard, commented on Iran and the two other teams in Morocco's World Cup group, European champion Portugal and 2010 World Cup winner Spain. Renard was blunt, saying, and I quote, "For us, it's rather simple. We have three teams which in the FIFA rankings are all above us. They are superior to us," says Renard, "and we've prepared for the match against Iran just like we've prepared for the matches against Spain or Portugal. We think that all three matches are just as important. All of them will bring us 3 points if we win." And following up on Coach Renard's remarks, if we take a look at June's FIFA rankings, Morocco is ranked 41st overall, Iran is 37th, Spain is 10th, and Portugal is 4th. The Portuguese and the Spaniards will meet in Friday's last World Cup match of the day in Sochi, Russia, the host city of the 2014 Winter Olympics. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with more World Cup news is my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Ooten. Sporty World Cup greetings, Gwen.
Sporty World Cup greetings, Sonny.
Check your
Fans from both Egypt and Uruguay cheered and chanted ahead of their Friday opening match in Ekaterinburg Stadium. The evening before, this Egyptian fan said the faith of his nation is behind the Egyptian team and their star player.
The 100 million Egyptians prayed yesterday because it was a very special night for us. It's the night that the Quran came down. They prayed for Salah to be fit for this occasion because he is the core of our team, as everybody knows. So we are hoping he will be able to play tomorrow. If not, then we hope he'll play against Russia and Saudi Arabia.
Well, Mo Salah did not play in the match. He sat on the sidelines and watched with dismay as Egypt fell to Uruguay 1-0. They next play host nation Russia on Tuesday. It's been reported that players on Egypt's team celebrated Salah's birthday in their team hotel. Fans inside the stadium chanted happy birthday in the 26th minute of the match. And hundreds of birthday greetings flooded the Twitter sphere with sentiments like this one: Liverpool Lion, Egyptian King, Lion Legend Warrior, happy birthday. Salah's game time could determine how far Egypt advances in this World Cup. While Egypt is the most successful African footballing nation, they have failed to make an impact on the world stage. Some of those who have placed their bets consider Germany to be one of the favorites this year, but they have been overtaken by Brazil to win this year's tournament with odds of 4-1. Spain was also heavily favored, but they have slipped in the rankings following the shocking dismissal of national team manager Julian Lopetegui just hours before the start of the tournament. It was announced on Wednesday that Lopetegui was planning to succeed Zinedine Zidane as Real Madrid's manager once the World Cup ended, to which the Spanish Federation president responded in part, quote, "We have been obliged to fire the national coach. The Federation cannot be left outside the negotiation of one of its employees and find out just 5 minutes before a public announcement." Fernando Hierro has been appointed as the new head coach, and he stressed the importance of calm and continuity in their Friday opener against Portugal. As the matches have officially gotten underway, you may have noticed a big technological change at the games this year. On Wednesday's show, I mentioned the debut of a video assistant referee team at this year's Cup. It's basically a video replay system that will be used in four key cases: goals, penalties, direct red cards, and mistaken identity. If a clear and obvious mistake is spotted, the refs will make a big outline of a rectangle with his index fingers, run to the sidelines, and stop play. Any time used for review will be added to the end of each half, no matter how long. So no seconds will be lost because of the interruption. Viewers and spectators will also be able to see all replays on the screen. And something else will be in full display at these World Cup games.
I want to remember this trip with the tattoo with my friends. And it's a map, it's a Russian map, and the flags from Colombia and Brazil, because we are a group, a big group from Colombian and Brazilian people.
Tattoos! An influx of enthusiastic soccer fans, like the Colombian fan we just heard, have kept Russian tattoo artists busy designing soccer-themed images of famous stars, and maps of Russia merged with the colors of a nation's flag. This Brazilian displays a freshly inked bicep and says being in Russia is life-changing.
It's very beautiful. It's an amazing city. There is just one thing, though, that no one speaks English, and it's hard for us sometimes to buy stuff, but it's fine. We manage it.
People around the globe are unified in Russia and having an experience that will no doubt change their lives. I'll let this Argentine fan have the last word.
When anybody loves football, make no distance, no borders, nothing.
More World Cup news on Monday. Back to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. You have a good weekend, too. That's my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Quick update now for our Voice of America listeners. Morocco and Iran are in the 79th minute. No score in St. Petersburg, Russia. Once again, no score between Morocco and Iran. They're in the 79th minute in St. Petersburg, Russia. In Friday's first match, Uruguay defeated Egypt 1-0 in Ekaterinburg, Russia. Jose Jimenez was the goal-scoring hero for Uruguay. He knocked in a 90th-minute header, much to the anguish of Egyptian football fans. Uruguay 1, Egypt 0 in Friday's opening World Cup match. Well, this has been a bittersweet week for American soccer fans. First, the bitter. The USA did not qualify for Russia 2018, missing out on the world's most popular sporting event for the first time in 32 years. And now the sweet. The USA won the hosting rights to the 2026 World Cup, along with neighbors Mexico and Canada. With the World Cup in Russia officially underway, American fans are more than ready to root with all their broken hearts for certain other national teams to lift the trophy in Moscow on July 15th. My Voice of America colleague Adam Phillips caught up with a few of them recently at Yankee Stadium in New York City. And Adam asked them to vent and to predict.
It's mid-game on a bright, sunny spring day in New York's Yankee Stadium, mere days before the World Cup is set to begin in Moscow, Russia. Atlanta FC is beating New York City FC 1-0, and so New York City fans are giving their team their Big Apple best. Diehard soccer fan Adam Swift from nearby New Jersey is cheering right along. Still, he admits it's been tough keeping his spirits up ever since the U.S. team officially failed to qualify for this year's contest. That hasn't happened since 1986.
When we first lost, it was like a family member had died. And every day I thought about it a little bit less, and I kind of slowly accepted it. But now I wake up, and I'm either really excited, but there's always a little bit of pain that we didn't make it. But, we're in New York City, so I can go to watch all these teams with their fans, and it's going to be amazing.
What are you going to be rooting for instead?
Sweden and Peru.
Do you want them to win, or is that a prediction?
No, those are the teams I'm pulling for. I think that France will win.
Yeah. Oh, really? Why?
Their team is just so stacked, and their jerseys are very, very good looking, so I think they'll do well.
What about the African teams? Do you have any comment about that? This is actually going to Africa.
I was surprised Ghana's collapse, because as a U.S. fan, that's one of our big African rivals. We've either been knocked out by them or knocked them out, but I'm excited to watch Nigeria. And they can finish. I think they could get out. So I'm excited.
Joe and Felix LaMonaco are brothers visiting the city from Albany, New York. Joe says he's disappointed the U.S. isn't in the World Cup, mostly because he wants more Americans to embrace the sport.
But for true fans, it really doesn't matter because you love the game and there's so many great teams in the world. Why would you care? When you watch the World Cup, it's such a worldwide event. Everybody around the world is watching, so you just have to take it with a grain of salt, and anyone who watches it will enjoy it.
What team are you going to be rooting for?
Well, I normally would root for Italy, but they didn't make it either, so there's them and the Netherlands.
Egypt did it for the first time for like 27 years or for a very long time.
Yeah, and they have a great player in Mohamed Salah, who plays in the English Premier League, and he's great.
Felix LaMonaco wholeheartedly agrees.
I like him because he is a tricky player in the sense that you can't tell if he's going to cross the ball, but he ends up cutting a lot of times and scoring a lot of excellent shots, too. So he's basically what Egypt needs as kind of an offensive player.
Nick Shaheen is from Astoria, Queens, a New York neighborhood where thousands of Egyptian Americans live and where Mohamed Salah is now a household name. But this year, Shaheen's loyalty lies with a certain famous European team.
I have Germany winning it again.
Why?
The depth that they have at their team. If somebody gets injured, it's like they didn't even have that injury. They have somebody to replace them. And then if Germany doesn't win it, I have Brazil and France in a tie.
The U.S. obviously didn't qualify this year for the World Cup, so what do you think about that?
I think that we just have a program that we're sticking with star players that are past their prime, and we need to start changing it up a little. I think the firing of our head coach is a good start.
A reporter scanning the crowd for divided loyalties would certainly come to a full stop on Ingrid's face. She looks pretty glum.
I'm American, but my parents are Ecuadorian.
Oh, Ecuador. So Ecuador is a big soccer country, isn't it?
Yeah, but we didn't make it this year, so.
Yeah. Ecuador or U.S.?
I know. So both of them, yeah. I have nobody to root for.
Are you disappointed that the U.S. didn't qualify?
I was. I was very disappointed. Yeah. My brother and my father, they're really soccer fans. I've always come to games with them.
It's a family thing.
It's a family thing, yes.
For Ian Tangi of Dallas, Texas, it's not a family thing. It's an excellence versus mediocrity thing.
I'm disappointed the U.S. didn't get there, but they didn't deserve it this year. They weren't good enough. I'm excited to see Mexico and Germany.
Any thoughts about the African team?
Well, they always do well up until the quarterfinals.
Are you excited?
I am.
What's so exciting about the World Cup?
It's the only one that all nations across the world can be unified around.
It was a real community.
Oh, yeah. I love it. So we're going to have to go out to a bar, go to the soccer bars, and enjoy the game.
What's the difference in the experience between watching it in public space as opposed to your own living room?
I think there's a little bit more energy. I think, like, when someone scores or there's a foul, everybody's yelling and screaming. It's like you're there.
Do you think that the fact that the U.S. isn't in it this year, in the World Cup this year, is going to kind of put a damper on the growing popularity of soccer as a sport in the U.S.?
I don't think so. Actually, we're the second highest ticket sales this year in all the countries. So we've bought like 88,000.
What does that tell you?
It tells us that we are really loving soccer.
As if on cue, New York City FC takes possession of the ball. And with a head bounce pass to another head bounce, they score a goal against Atlanta, tying the game 1-1, which turns out to be the final score. It's a contest that gives fans of both teams a moment of joy, making whatever may happen in Russia over the next month seem very far away, at least for now. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Adam Phillips, reporting from New York.
Thanks, Adam. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. If you're just tuning in now to the Voice of America, Morocco and Iran, goalless draw. We're in the 87th minute in St. Petersburg, Russia. No score between Morocco and Iran in Friday's first match. Uruguay defeated Egypt 1-0. Uruguay 1, Egypt 0 on a goal by Jose Jimenez, a header in the 90th minute. As I mentioned earlier, the United States, Canada, and Mexico won the hosting rights to the 2026 World Cup football tournament on Wednesday in Moscow, Russia. The joint North American bid easily defeated another one by Morocco, 134-65 in the voting by member associations of FIFA, World Football's governing body. For reaction, reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria, spoke with the sports editor of Silverbird Communications Radio and Television, Gabenga James.
From the perspective of an African, it's disappointing. And, you know, for Morocco, they've always been knocking on the door. This wasn't the first time they were going to submit a bid to host the World Cup. They've always been ambitious. They narrowly lost out in 2006 to the South African bid when South Africa won the bid to host the World in 2010. And one would sympathize with them that having put their foot forward to host the rest of the world in the FIFA World Cup for a number of times, that perhaps it will seal this time around. But they always had their back at the wall. Look at how strong the rival bid was. That's the US, Mexico, and Canada.
Looking at the US, Mexico, Canada bid that won, analysts say that the offer they have is mouth-watering. What's your reaction to this?
Yeah, on the financial side of things, FIFA is a businessman, in quotes, because football is big business. And if you look what was in the offing for FIFA to make from the US, Canada, Mexico bid, you always want to give it to that bid, to that United bid. And beyond the finance now, if you also look at, let's look at the experience of having hosted events of such a magnitude. US came out in flying colors when they hosted the world at the US 1994 World Cup, which incidentally was when Nigeria made a debut at the FIFA World Cup. Mexico was also a good host in 1986. Yeah, they did it in 1970. They also did it in 86 when Maradona led Argentina to win the World Cup in that country. Canada has not hosted the men's World Cup before, but they have hosted the women's World Cup, and they also came out in flying colors. So in terms of facilities, they've traveled this road before. You give it to them. In terms of attendance of games, we saw, because we had our fears before 1994 World Cup in the US, we felt football was not one of the popular sports in the state. But we didn't see empty stand when US hosted the World Cup in 1994. And in recent years too, football is growing in popularity in Canada. So now, looking at that bid, FIFA was going to make a lot of money. So financially, it was very tempting. Then looking at the game itself, the other important element, which is the people. The people actually own the beautiful game, football. People will come out to watch the game.
Morocco's bid was described by some analysts as high-risk bid. What's your take on this?
I think that was some perception that was promoted, that Morocco's bid was high risk. Of course, they would have based that perception too on some statistics, on some reports emanating from that part of the world. You understand? That must have informed the reason they tagged it that. But I just thought that from the beginning, considering the strength of the United bid, it was doomed from the beginning.
Beyond 2026 World Cup, do you think any other African country can come out to bid to host the World Cup?
Well, in football generally, we are told never to say never, and that anything is possible and everything is possible. We never knew that so soon Africa would be trusted enough to host the World Cup. But South Africa, the Rainbow Nation, did it with distinction in 2010 and even declared profit after the World Cup. So if South Africa was trusted enough in 2010 and they acquitted themselves well, which for me was a pass mark for the entire continent, why not? Maybe sometime in not too distant future, an African country will present a bid that is considered attractive enough, strong enough, and not high risk, in quote, and that would be a winning bid.
That's Gabenga James, sports editor of Silverbird Communications Radio and Television, and he was talking with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. If you're just tuning in now to the Voice of America, we're in the 93rd minute in St. Petersburg, Russia. No score between Morocco and Iran, the opening World Cup match for both teams. 93rd minute, no score between Morocco and Iran. In Friday's opening World Cup match, played in Ekaterinburg, Russia, Uruguay defeated Egypt 1-0 on a 90th minute goal by Atletico Madrid man Jose Jimenez. The 23-year-old defender rose to meet a right-wing corner kick and then with a powerful header knocked the ball home to lift his team to victory. Jimenez then went sliding across the pitch and the television cameras panned to Liverpool's injured star striker Mohamed Salah. He slumped his shoulders. His head went down. He shook his head. I was hoping to see birthday boy Mo Salah on the pitch against Uruguay, but he did not play. Final score, Uruguay 1, Egypt 0. And that wraps up a special June 15th World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Vasco Vlahovic. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
The United States has expanded its offer of rewards for information on key leaders of terrorist organizations to include a leader of one of the groups conducting attacks on government facilities and other targets in northern Nigeria, roiling the nation in sectarian violence. Abu Bakr Shekau is the leader of the group commonly known as Boko Haram, a Nigeria-based extremist organization seeking to overthrow the current government there and replace it with a regime based on a strict interpretation of Islamic law. Links with terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab have strengthened Boko Haram's capacity to conduct its attacks. Previously, the group's number two, Shekau claimed overall command in July 2010, expressing solidarity with Al-Qaeda and threatening the United States. A vehicle bomb attack on the United Nations headquarters in Abuja in August 2011 marked the group's first lethal operation against Western interests, killing at least 23 people and injuring 80 others. In April 2012, the group bombed a Nigerian newspaper office in Abuja and later threatened other local and international news outlets, including the Voice of America. Under his leadership, the group has kidnapped hundreds of children to serve as hostages, bearers, and even fighters. Shekau is tall, slim, and has a dark complexion. He was born in Yobe, Nigeria, sometime between 1965 and 1975, and is of the Kanuri ethnicity. He speaks Arabic, Hausa, Fulani, and Kanuri. He is known to have used the aliases Abu Bakr Sikwa and Imam Abu Bakr Shekau. The Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $7 million for information leading to Shekau's location. The U.S. promises that all credible reports will be investigated and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them and their families. If you have information on this man, contact the nearest U.S. embassy or consulate or submit a tip to www.rewardsforjustice.net or email information to info@rewardsforjustice.net. You may also call the Rewards for Justice tip line at 1-800-877-3927.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of the Sunny Side of Sports.
We will rock you.
Please join me at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, music lovers. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This week's edition brings you music, tributes, and stories of a legend, Leo Sarkisian. He passed away June 8th, 2018. The VOA Music Man founded Music Time in Africa in 1965. He always, alongside his beloved wife Mary, animated the homes and warmed the hearts of millions of African listeners for nearly 50 years with his music radio show. So don't miss it. Leo's final send-off. this Sunday and the following Saturday at 15:05 and 20:05 Universal Time.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.